Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there. Good morning. Pretty excited about this morning. Don't know why. Woke up in a pretty good mood today. Heading to Mayberry. Going to head to Mayberry RFD tomorrow. And just thought I better give a fair warning out there. When we leave with some house sitters and some mean dogs. For any of you who might have some nefarious plans, better bring a big dog with you. But we're heading to Mayberry tomorrow for Mike and Polly's event down there. We're going to visit Jeb Stewart, his memorial. We're going to go see where Andy Griffith grew up. We're going to go visit Barney Fife's in jail and Otis the Drunk. And we're going to stand out on the street and do some honking waves and do a little bit of street preaching and be joined by several 20-some maybe. Huh, Mike? How many showing up down there, Mike? Oh, my goodness. I hate it when that happens. Good. Love to have it. It's going to be great. Great to see everybody down there. Mike, pull the calendar up there real quickly because I've got a long way to go and a short time to get there today. A lot of stuff I want to cover. I want to make sure, hey, listen, Portia, I haven't heard from you lately. I pray that Chuck's doing okay. As I told you guys earlier this week, Portia's fiance, Chuck, had a horrendous accident. Fell, broke his, shattered his hip, from what I understand, was electrocuted on the way down. He's had a lot of, dealing with a lot of issues. So, Portia, we're praying for Chuck, praying for you. You know, we pray before you go on the air every morning. I just prayed. I just sensed, man, there are a lot of you out there carrying burdens. A lot of you, all stuff going on. And sadly, it's usually not something that you've caused, you know? The consequences of sin, those around you that you love who aren't following the Lord, or get yourself in some kind of situation, compromised situation, or crazy as it is, get in trouble with the government, the ungodly government, get in trouble with them. So I just, you know, all of you out there, the devil's working overtime, isn't he? He's working overtime. So just want you to know we're in your corner out there, whatever may be going on with you. Chad. Yeah, hang on a second, Joe. Chad's got to go ahead, Joe. Get this calendar up
just,
real quick.
Just a quick technical issue. I'm not getting any presentation as far as if Mike was going to present a whatever, because I don't think he's presenting, because everybody's dialed. So that's just wanted to bring it up.
Thanks, Joe. Are you presenting Mike today? Boy, they put the pressure on you, didn't you? Jared sitting there on your left shoulder like a little, why do they call those things? You had a little dummy sitting on your leg? Not making fun of you, Jared. Just looking at the picture.
Ventriloquist.
Here. But yeah, ventriloquist. Chad's having his annual meetup next weekend. Those of you down in that Texas area, man, get down there. Come on, folks. Fellowship. Get to know each other. Reach out. Everything will go down there, Chad. What's going on? Help us out here, bud.
Yeah, it's we got everything lined up. We're still, I'm reaching out to people trying to get RSVPs, making sure we got a head count so we have a correct number of stuff. So I just ask if you come, just let me know that you're going to be there and bring a chair. We're going to do a round robin with some classes and stuff like that, and brisket and barbecue, that kind of stuff for food. And so, you know, it's a good time.
How many ask expecting, Chad?
Yeah, around 50.
Oh, my goodness. I hate it when that happens. Doggone it. 50 people, huh? Folks, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together even more as we see that day approaching. I'm banned on the airlines, Chad. I can't get down there. They got me banned there. I'm going to have to get my own plane, I guess, to be able to get around. And listen, I'm good. John Diamond's coming on here with us in a second. Yeah, well, it's on the screen right now. Go ahead, Chad.
See, they got terrorists that are on the no-fly list. And now if you don't want to refuse to wear a mask, you're on the no-fly list. So you're equal to being a terrorist.
Awesome, man. I'm a terrorist for the Lord. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Let me say that again, because you cannot separate that phrase. I hear people say all the time, well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, listen to me. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. If you are ashamed of it, there is no power. I'm going to say it again. The key phrase in that scripture is not being ashamed of it. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is what? Not being ashamed of it. It is the power of God unto salvation. If you're ashamed of the gospel, it's powerless. And we need to stand up and speak up more, even more, as we see that day approaching. That's why I wanted to. John Diamond's going to join us here in a minute, but this thing is busting to get out of me. I'm going to talk about this on Monday, okay? We'll talk more about this on Monday. If John Diamond wasn't already scheduled, this is what I'd be talking about. Here's what I saw. I saw it last night. Mike Heath's been kind of pounding this in the back of my head, and others have been pounding it in the back of my head. Folks, listen to me. Listen to me now. I saw it yesterday. I watched Rob Pugh got front row seats last night to the Donald Trump rally. Where was it? Why, it was in Wausau, Wisconsin, Mosinee, Wisconsin, where I just flew in and they wouldn't let me fly out. Isn't that something? I was in that very airport where they held out yesterday. And Rob got some tickets and he's up there close. And I don't know if he's in there. He's probably sleeping in. He deserves to be sleeping in. Anyway, I saw it yesterday. You ready? We'll do a show on this. Donald Trump's masculine. I saw it. I turn on Joe Biden. Joe Biden is somebody sophisticated you'd find at Harvard or Yale or something. Donald Trump's masculine. Donald Trump says the things that men said a generation ago. He still says them. But we've been so programmed to not... We've been so sissified Christian that we don't even know what to do with it. So I'm going to do a show on this, okay? Monday, I hope. Masculine. Is this Trump? You say, oh, he's so harsh. He's not very presidential. Having the qualities of a man. Strong. Robust. Hey, Mike, what's robust? Look that up. What is robust? He ain't Jerry Seinfeld. He ain't that sissy Barack Obama with a wife bigger than him. No, sir. He's got Donald Trump's got the man, got the woman every man wishes he had. Somebody can say amen. You don't have to. Robust, strong, amen. Lusty, sinewy. Muscular, vigorous, forceful, as a robust body, robust youth. It implies full flesh and sound health. If you're robust, you are vigorous, violent, rough, rude, romp loving miss is hauled about in all. I'm just requiring strength. All right, go back to masculine. That's Donald Trump right there, folks. He's robust. Strong, lusty, sinewy, right? He resembles a man. He's coarse, opposed to soft or delicate. Bold, brave, as a masculine spirit of courage. In grammar, masculine gender of words is which expresses a male or something analogous to it. Or it is the gender appropriated to males, though not always expressing the male sex. That's right. Women have become men and men have become women. The great switcheroo. I saw it last night. I sat there and I watched about 20 minutes of Donald Trump rather than the Cleveland Browns. I'm not watching the NFL. And Donald Trump, I sat there in amazement. He was like a stand-up comedian calling out the opponents. That's what a man. See, we hate men like that, don't we? We hate them. We call them bullies. We call them we hate it. And I figured out something. That's why they hate me. Yeah, and I'm doing everything I can to try to promote a masculine gospel.
Amen.
Hey, folks, you think Jesus was a wimp? Hey, Mike, do me a real favor. We've done this before, but hang on, John Diamond. I'm coming to you. Hey, Mike, Google real quick pictures of Jesus. Let's see how many masculine pictures of Jesus we can pull up here. Masculine. Clint Eastwood, John Wayne. Now we get Jerry Seinfeld and Everybody Loves Raymond. Look at those pictures. Look at those pictures! Anybody think Jesus was masculine? Look at those things. Devil's a liar. Somebody say amen. Devil's a liar. Jesus wasn't no sissy wimp.
Amen, coach.
Hey, he went to the president's palace and called him out. Jesus did. Jesus went to the leaders of the day and called him out. He probably wouldn't got elected. Pharisees, Sadducees, they're probably never Jesusers. That's what we're dealing with today, friends. That's what we're dealing with today. Not only are we facing right now the death of America, if we don't arise, we're getting ready to have the dirt shoveled on the coffin of masculinity. That's what I saw. There's still enough of us left. Still enough of us. Oh, no, I'm not talking about farting and spitting and chewing tobacco and cussing. No, no. See, that's what the media has done to you as well. No. Standing up and speaking the truth, regardless of what the consequences might be. Hey, Mike, go back to that robust. I like that. John, get ready. I'm going to serve it to you. I'm going to do a show on this. I'm going to do a show on it. Robust. Robust. Strong. Lusty. Sinewy. Muscular. Vigorous. Forceful. Violent. Rough. Rude. I'm going to shut up and give somebody a chance to say something. See, you can. Here's what you should say. Boy, Coach, you just nailed it there. No, I didn't. Webster did.
Amen.
Hey, Coach, you're being a threat. You're mansplaining.
That's right. You are challenging the sissified stat. Hey, Mike, I got to do it real quick, okay? I got to do it. There's a clip down there. Everybody loves Raymond. Ray Romano. Now, folks, hey, Mike, do this. I'm sorry. Real quick. I got to do this. I'm going to do a show on this maybe Monday. Go to Clint Eastwood, Jared. Go to Clint Eastwood. I'm Mike, real quick. I got two videos I showed you. And I want you to show what's happened to the American media and what they've done to us over one generation. Mike, pull up the Clint Eastwood clip. Hey, folks, this is what they used to show us men look like. All right? Go ahead.
World, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns and those who dig. You dig.
Where?
Didn't hear what the bet was.
Your life.
Okay, buddy, give us some Ray Romano. Everybody loves Raymond. Everybody loves Raymond. That's the American male today. Everybody loves Raymond. Not Clint Eastwood. No. Everybody loves Raymond. Here we go. Give us a little clip of this one, Michael. Get ready, John. I'm coming to you. I promise. I got to get this off my chest. Here's the American male now.
What you got?
625.
You don't got 626?
I will in a minute.
What's wrong with you?
Nothing, nothing. Deborah and I had a deal that she'd be in the car at 6:30, and I promised not to yell up the stairs. We gotta go. Come on, come on, come on. My next wife isn't gonna do this. Things of that nature, you know? Yeah. All right. Look, I'm gonna wait in the car. When Deborah comes down, tell her that I am patiently waiting in the car, not yelling things up the stairs.
Okay, Mike, that's it. That's it. So we've had a generation of us raised with Clint Eastwood and a generation raised with Everybody Loves Raymond. And you wonder why we're in the mess we're in. Come on in, John Diamond. God bless you, man. Thanks for giving me 15 minutes here to get that off my chest. How you doing, John?
No, brother, this is good stuff, because that's definitely led by the spirit. Because I woke up actually last night and woke up this morning with a kind of a different little message that I was going to do. We were going to do America Lie Number 4. I think that will be better put off until next week, because the message that you have on manliness needs to precede this, because what you're going to see is our founding fathers were manly. Jared, can you pull up, and we're just going to kind of just wing it here this morning, Coach. Pull up the Declaration of Independence?
Because hang on a second, John. Hang on a second. Hey, folks, listen. Hold your ears a minute. Hold your ears. Women, soft Christians, hold your ears. Do you guys have any idea how ballsy our founders were? You have any idea? Huh? You have any idea how big their... Go ahead, John.
They're cojones.
Yeah, the Declaration of Independence. Pull up where it says the text. I don't know if you want to type text in there, but I want to show you one part that's absolutely missed a lot of times. Let me see.
Hey, John, while you're looking, hey, folks, they won't vote for Trump because he's too harsh. He's too robust. You get it? Do you get what they're doing?
You have to type in Declaration of Independence text, because that's the only, you won't be able to read that scribbled document. Google Declaration of Independence full text.
Don't blame John. I just switched gears on John. Don't blame him. He had it all prepared here, and I, Holy Spirit.
And don't blame Mike, because I'm throwing it on him too. So yeah. We'll just kind of wing it here a little bit. But I'm just going to read it to you. Down in the, there were 27 grievances, and this is what I was going to cover here this morning. There were 27 grievances against the king, and one of them says that the king has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. So our leaders...
We got to find that, John. We got to find that.
Yeah, like I said, go right ahead. This is all God's leading right here.
Huh? With manly... we'll keep looking, John. You keep talking. I interrupt all the time they tell me. Go ahead.
But our representatives understood where our rights come from. And when the king would invade those rights, this is what Matt Truella teaches about interposition. Our founding fathers were standing between the king and the colonists, and they were saying, King, you are violating their rights, and we are not going to put up with it. And that's why it says in the Declaration of Independence, and you could probably just hit Control F and find, just put type manly, and it'll probably take you right to that. But it says every time that they stood between the king and the colonists, the king would come in and dissolve their houses of representative government. And he would just do this repeatedly. And the founding fathers were about as manly as you could possibly get. So, I mean, what you're going to talk about Monday, I want to share something that the Lord laid on my heart last night and this morning that I think will set a lot of this up. And then when you teach on this Monday, and then we'll come back in and we'll deal with lie number 4, because I believe this is all just basically, this is just going line upon line. This is good stuff here. Yeah, see, there was 27 different complaints these are crimes. All right. When you talk about equal justice tour, we need a divine justice tour, because every one of these things was an absolute crime that the king was committing against the colonists. That's what we're.
Mike, I found it. Did you guys see it in there? It says here, he has dissolved representative house repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasion of the rights of the people. My God, I've never seen that before, John. I had never, ever seen that. Donald Trump is resisting with manly firmness. I'm not sure which. Hey, you can say, well, I don't trust him. I don't know which side he's on. Well, they hate him because he's doing it with manly firmness. John, I know he interrupted. It's my show. Go ahead.
No, like I said, this is all Lord laid that on your heart, and like I said, this is all kind of just working together for good, as the word says. Yeah, there it is, right there in the middle. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the right of the people.
Manly,
we firmness. Live in a nation there is no manly firmness, and I'm gonna show you what the kind of Lord showed me last night. And this morning, an unrighteous people love slavery. They love to be enslaved. They want to be enslaved. Now, I'll tell you what led me to this. Here in Pennsylvania, we've got a dictator just like you do there in Ohio, who thinks that he can just, you know, he's a tyrant. He thinks he can order anybody to do anything he wants, anytime he wants, and everybody has to bow down and kiss his toes.
Because there ain't no manly firmness, John. There ain't no manly firmness. That's why. Go ahead.
That's exactly why. So when this whole thing started off and I'm at work and he passed this thing I went to the president or the guy who runs our plant, all my supervisors, and I told them, you people are flat out. I'll even show you the letter I sent to them, especially about face masks. I said, this governor has no authority to tell us what to do. And we need to stand toe to toe with this guy and say, you have no authority. We are not going to obey you. We need to oppose these governors with manly firmness. And everybody just conceded. Everybody just went with the mask. Everybody did the social distancing, everything. Even though I told them that every bit of this is unconstitutional. And, you know, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. These people just wanted to be enslaved. All right. So here we go, 6 months later, and 3 days ago, a federal judge ruled that Tom Wolf's all his restrictions, everything was unconstitutional.
He's your governor.
All right. Now, I've been saying this from the very beginning.
John, he's your governor. We're not off in Pennsylvania. Tom Wolf is your governor?
Yes. Yes. Tom Wolf is our governor here. And he's doing the same thing DeWine's doing over there in Ohio. And you know, an executive order basically is just an order for the people that work for him. He does not have the authority to order civilians to do anything. That's what the legislature is there for. That's why there's a separation of powers. And I said from the very beginning, if I owned a business, I would keep that business open. There would be no masks required. And when they sent their little cronies in, I would say, tell me what law I'm breaking. Well, the governor ruled. Governor does not rule. He's my representative.
Right.
All right? Okay, I don't work for him.
Hang on a minute, John. Let's get these guys involved here. Can somebody? I can't get this out of my head. What's up on the screen right now? I have never seen this. You ready? Somebody tell me this. What is manly firmness? It said that the king dissolved government. He dissolved representative houses repeatedly. In other words, when people began to push back against him, he dissolved them. Why? Because they opposed him with manly firmness. Manly firmness? His invasions on the rights of the people. Are the rights of the people being invaded today? And what would manly firmness look like? What would that look like? Just pause a second, John. Let's hear what some of these guys think. What's manly firmness? What would manly firmness look like today?
It means you stand for what you believe. And you don't back down in the face of anything else. You just stand up and say, no, I'm not doing it.
Gary, what if they tell you that you're not going to be able to get on an airplane if you don't obey?
Then I guess I won't fly.
Guess you're going to have some manly firmness and rent a pickup truck and drive home, right?
That's what I'm going to do. But you don't capitulate. That's the thing.
That's right. Amen.
Because it's not just about resistance, but it's also about action. You know, I resist this, but I'm also going to do this. Does that make sense? In other words,
yes.
In Louisiana, we hate what our governor has done. We've actually started a recall on him. Not only am I resisting not wearing a mask anywhere for the past 2 months, but also starting a petition to get him completely removed from office.
That's right. Because why, Dale? Manly firmness would say this. It's not about wearing a mask. It's not about wearing a mask. It's about whether or not you got the right to tell me to wear a mask, and you don't.
Let's
and
go
Manly
back.
Firm says, hey. I don't care if I got to walk home. I don't care if I got to crawl home. I ain't putting on no mask.
Hey, Dale.
That's Manly Firmness, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, right there, for opposing with action. Manly Firmness, action. Like you said, opposing with action, not just, yeah, like it.
What was the action against, Larry? Why it was against his invasions on the rights of the people? Any of that going on today, boys and girls? What are our churches telling us? stay at home, watch online.
Once again, Coach, more than just defathers here.
Hang on one at a time. Joe Allen, go, Joe.
Some of our founding fathers there, Coach, were in their 30s, young men.
Most of them, Joseph, it cost them their life too, didn't it, Joseph? We follow that. They lost everything. They pledged their lives, their fortune, and their sacred honor. Most of them ended up giving it up too. They did. Come back in, Dale.
That's exactly it, Coach. I was going to go there. Our founding fathers, when they signed that declaration, they were declaring themselves that they were high treason against the king, against his edicts. They weren't just saying, hey, we resist you. We're actually going to do something about it. Many of people, it's not just about, I'm not going to wear a mask. The next thing is what are you going to do about it?
Hey, Dale, you know what I like about Donald Trump? Hang on, John. I'm sorry. This has been all over me all morning, okay? You turn on, you watch those guys in the Senate, and you see Democrats are trying to destroy America, turning it into a communist nation, and Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio stand up and say, with all respect to the gentleman from California, that ain't manly firmness. You know why they hate Donald Trump? Because he calls him Little Marco. He calls a low-energy Jeb. He calls it out, right? We don't like that. We want to be womanly. We want to look good. We want to act presidential. Oh, my, the gentlewoman from Colorado. I take offense with a gentlewoman from Colorado. Right,
Coach, you nailed it. You nailed it. That's exactly it.
And what do we end up getting? We get women like that daggone stewardess on the airplane who came at me with manly firmness. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing that you have to recognize. This is what the Lord just showed me in the last couple of days, all right? Because I've been resisting with manly firmness everything this governor's been doing from the beginning. I ain't been to work in 2.5 months because I told him I'm not wearing a mask, all mm-hmm. right? All right? I mean, and that's what it has to be. You just got to – what manly firmness is I'm drawing a line in the sand and I'm not moving. I'm not moving from that line. What the Christian church has done since 1960, we draw a line in the sand. When the Supreme Court or the government pushes against us, we back up, draw another line in the sand, and we've been backing up and drawing lines in the sand for I don't know how long because we've abandoned God's law. We've abandoned God's law as and the Constitution as the supreme authorities over our government. And when they try to cross that line, we should be standing firm and saying, no, you have no authority to do this. You have no authority to legalize gay marriage, commit abortion, kick God in prayer out of the schools. You have no authority to do it. And we are not moving. So this is what the appeal to heaven movement is. It's twofold. One, understanding the divine chain of command, but it's also civil disobedience. We are standing here on this line. The Constitution is the line. God's law is the line. And we are not moving off of that. You do not have that in Christianity today, especially in America. And here's what I'm talking about. So a federal judge just ruled, and President Trump even talked about it several times in press conferences over the last couple of days. The federal judge has ruled everything Tom Wolf is doing here is unconstitutional. In other words, he has no authority.
Governor Wolf, keep it governor. People live in Colorado. They don't know who Tom Wolf is.
Yeah, governor of Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf, had made all these unlawful edicts. I've been saying from the very beginning they're unlawful. I'm not going to comply with them. I resisted with manly firmness his invasions upon my rights, right? Since my government won't do it, then I'm the last line of defense. I got to do it myself. Well, here we go 3 days ago, and the federal judge ruled that everything was unconstitutional. All right. And I was just rejoicing, not only to be vindicated because I've been trying to tell everybody and their mother for 6 months it's unconstitutional, but now I got a federal judge basically saying I was right. All right. Here I go to my flag football where I coach flag football. They sent a message out to all the coaches saying, hey, all you coaches, you got to wear a face mask. And I said, I am not wearing a mask. He has no authority to do it. I sent out a text and an email the other day when this ruling came down. And I said, guys, a federal judge has just said that everything, we need to go back to normal. Everything back to normal. Last night, they were still all out there, every last one of them, all the coaches, all wearing face masks. I'm the only one on the field without a face mask, right? Other than the players. But all the coaches have masks on. All the parents, not all of the parents, but a good half of the parents have masks on. And I'm just like, guys, do you realize the higher authority has just overruled Tom Wolf? We don't have to do what he says. And they just sit there and look at you like they have no idea. So I'm praying on the way home. And I'm like, Lord, what's going on? I mean, now they've got every legal justification just to tell Wolf to go pound salt. And they are just complying. And the Lord said this, people love slavery. People love being enslaved to their government.
So, John, let me get this straight for the slow learners, like the people out there in California who are just getting up. Those guys in Nevada are just getting up. So the governor, Wolf, has issued orders to people, right?
Correct.
And now the federal judge has said, hey, Governor Wolf, you can't do that, dude. You can't do that. In other words, you can't make people wear masks. That's what the federal judge said, John. You can't make.
He said everything. Everything he's doing.
You can't do it. You can't close down businesses. You can't do that. And what do the people do, John? Why they continue to comply?
They comply with the tyrant. They enslave themselves, and that's what God showed me last night. He said, "An unrighteous people love slavery," and that's why they hate people like you and me, because we're trying to break them out of slavery. And they don't want to. And then here's the scripture God gave me last night, come from right from Exodus. And it said, here's what the people said to Moses. Didn't we say to you, leave us in Egypt and let us serve the Egyptian? It'd be better for us to serve the Egyptians. He was trying to break them out of bondage. He was trying to break them out. God and Moses were trying to break them out of slavery. And they were more interested in staying enslaved than they were going on to freedom. And that's why they died in the wilderness. How many times in the wilderness did they say, let us go back, let us go back, let us go back? People, an unrighteous people, love to be enslaved. And that's what you're seeing. And that's why they hate you and I, because we're not going to be enslaved. It convicts them in their spirit that, man, these dudes are right. They're courageous. They're standing up for what's right. But we don't have that courage, and we hate them. We envy them for what they're doing.
So John, hang on, Joe. I see. I'll be right to you, Joe. I got to get this out. So I had a call from a conversation with my daughter the other day. I love my daughter. Love her to death. Love her to death. And we're planning a getaway. And she said to me and her mother, you guys aren't going to make a scene over masks, are you? Now, John, my head is still pounding, right? Still pounding. My own daughter doesn't get what it's about. She loves me. She loves going with her dad. But, John, she'd rather be a slave, right? Daddy, don't make a mess. Daddy, please don't say anything. Daddy, put on your mask and confine. Please, Daddy. I said, listen, I won't go. Come on in, Joe.
Y'all, I was going to say that enslavement, unrighteousness should be assigned to us. First of all, that the end is really near. And that I don't know if this is true or not, but it seems that those who have this type of mindset are lost.
Hey, Joe, let me ask you something, Joe, and everybody in there. John, I'm sorry, man. I'm just following the spirit here today, right?
Go right ahead, bud.
Can you guys all put on your hat? Let me take this off. Let me put on my secular hat here. This is Lindell's. What if the secularists are right? What if there ain't no end times? What if the future of the United States and the future of the world really, truly depends on what we do, and there ain't no God. Would we be acting the same way?
I would.
Well, Coach, I think it doesn't matter.
It shouldn't matter.
It shouldn't matter. I mean, if there is no God, we just die.
Well, if there is no God, then we ought to get war, don't you think, Joe?
Yeah, I agree.
We ought to belly up to the bar here, man.
That's right. But
and the world's flat.
If there is a God, and we play this game that there is no God, it's going to get real hot.
Going to get real, real hot. Listen, I believe there's a God. I believe there's a God, all right? I believe Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe that we've got to fight in front of us, boys and girls. We got to fight in front of us before the Lord takes us home. And I'm going to tell you something. We're soft in the middle. Hey, you listen to me. Our churches and our pastors have made us soft in the middle, buddy. We got no gravel in our guts. We got nothing, man. We got nothing. We got to man up. Somebody come in. John, whatever. I'm sorry I'm all over the place this morning, but I feel this deeply.
Well, Dave, one of the things I was thinking about when you were using that Moses leading them out. See, the people, they loved their slavery, and they kept doing it. So when he went up there to get the Ten Commandments, he came back, and they were making golden idols. See, they loved their sin.
Yeah,
that's what they loved. And that's what hit me. They loved their sin. They loved that lifestyle.
There you go. They okay. didn't see their they didn't see their lifestyle as sin, Chad. They didn't see it as sin. They enjoyed it. They didn't want to give it up. Don't bother me with it. Let somebody else. Well, I'm looking for someone else. Let someone else do it.
See,
right?
see the conditions weren't bad enough, even though they were slaves and doing all that labor. But see, they accepted it. They accepted it. And the founding fathers, think about these two. I'm sorry, John. Is that they're there. They're busting out this Declaration of Independence and all this stuff. They're doing all this work. Remember, the only 19% of Americans ever joined the resistance. 81% loved what they were doing, or they were neutral.
But Chad, here's the difference, folks. In my opinion, the calamity, the collapse, Bible tells us is going to be sudden, sudden, sudden. It's not going to be gradual. It's going to be sudden. And we don't have a dam built against that sudden. Area code 315. Come on in.
Yes. I just want to say, if there's any indication that this is a nation that loves being enslaved, it's seen just how we as a people rolled over with all these lockdowns and being told you can't go to work, can't go to school, got to shut your businesses. I mean, people were willing to slit their throats financially just to be safe.
60%, Gary, just saw it. 60% of businesses that closed down during the pandemic will not open again. 60%. And we live in a world where they will force me to put this thing on my face, but they won't stop the murder of unborn children. Do you hear what I just said? This is mandatory. Life is not mandatory. This is mandatory. Life isn't mandatory. Yes.
I came to politics from Christianity 40 years ago. And I had drifted away from it after I resigned from the Christian Civic League of Maine, drifted away from politics. The only reason I came back into it with such a passion is because of this.
Trump.
Donald Trump. And the reason, and I knew nothing about Trump in January of 2016. I never watched his show, whatever. I knew he was rich. I knew he was a philanderer, whatever. But the tweet that got my attention was the one where he personally insulted Jeb Bush. Jeb had raised billions of dollars, whatever, and he threw a personal insult in there, and he was front page news big time in January. And I thought to myself, and I said it publicly at the time, he's going to win. And as the primary developed and the Cruz bots got busy arguing that the next president needed to be nicer than Jesus, that just spun me up even more. I just got more involved with Trump, more supportive of Trump. Never worn a political candidate's hat in my life. I always believed that Christianity needed to be nonpartisan, yada, yada, yada. But it's because, Coach, he's a man. Great.
He's
Coach.
A bull to ride, baby! He's a bull to ride! That's what I said. He's a bull to ride.
Yeah, I hate to say this, but Oprah Winfrey, well, how you say her name, she wanted him to run for president.
And because, see, they appreciated his skill set, right? They thought he wouldn't bring his masculine attitude into the White House with him. He thought he was running for president of the United States. They thought he was running for the role of president of the United States, and that he would be able to go in there and act like George Bush, act like Bill Clinton. They thought he could go in and act out the role. And he said, no, I'm going to go be the president.
Coach, you nailed it. It's about a role versus actually doing the job.
Yep.
Okay, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Coach. The scriptural evidence. Here's a picture. He's painted. This is outstanding. 1 Kings 2:2 is a picture of David passing the torch to the next line of authority, Solomon.
Verse Hang on, let's two. Get let's get him up.
You need first to read, bro, Coach. Read first verse 1-3, but look at verse 2. I think it says it the same way in the King James. I have a new King James, but quote. This is the quote: "Prove yourself a man, son." Solomon, prove yourself a man.
Wow, I never saw that, Randy.
Just see it. It's right there. It's a beautiful
picture. First Kings 2. Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, "I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man." And how do you do that? You keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimony, as it's written in the law of Moses, that thou must be prosper in all they do, and be nice to everybody, and don't ever say anything that's going to cause anybody any upset, and don't be harsh because you may turn them away from Jesus. Doesn't say any of that, does it, Randy? Doesn't say any of that, folks. Everybody loves Raymond. Hey, not everybody loves me. Praise the Lord. Everybody love you? Go ahead, John.
Yeah.
John, I'm not trying to steal your thunder today, man.
No, like I said, we're just rolling with it here today. We'll get into the teaching some other time. But I just want to build on what Chad said, because, when you know, not only did they want to go back into slavery, they didn't want to be freed from slaves. They kept wanting to go back in the wilderness. But then when they were out there and they were free, think of the government God gave them. He was king. He was lawgiver. All they had was judges. They were all equal. Well, what did they want? They wanted a king. So they said, "We want man to rule over us," right? And God said, "Okay, you want a king? Fine, but give him this warning." And you read that long warning, and the very last thing he says, "And you will be their slaves." God warned that ahead of time. If you put man in charge of man, his power will get, he will get so drunk with power that he will end up enslaving you. And they said, "We don't care. We want a king." We were given the most perfect system of government in the history of the universe, right? God did not want us to be enslaved by our government. He did not want us to be enslaved economically. That's why there was a jubilee. You couldn't charge interest. Everything, we're doing the exact opposite in this nation of everything, the perfect government that was given us.
I miss when we could enslave niggers.
And here we got now think about this a minute. And here's a illustration of what I'm talking about.
Hey, John, hold that thought a minute. See, that guy just came in there. He's the one calling people niggers. We're not doing that here, right?
What spirit do you think's leading them?
Homo sex. These guys are, they got fried brains, man. They got
We all love niggers.
There you go. That's all they can talk about. That's a depraved mind, folks. That is a depraved mind. And that guy who's doing this, he's no more of a man. In fact, he has sex with men. That's right. He ain't no man. Go ahead, John.
Well, here you go. Check this out. Now, I'll give you just a modern day illustration of what I'm talking about. Now, we don't know how to fight because we don't use Jesus. Jesus didn't back down from anybody. All right. We allow ourselves to go on the defensive and have to defend our position rather than going on the offensive. Wow. So when Jesus was questioned, what authority are you working on? He said, I'll answer your question if you answer one of mine. Baptism of John, is it of God or man? Well, they couldn't answer that. So he said, fine, I'm not answering your question. All right. I use that strategy all the time. So someone comes up to me and says, why aren't you wearing a mask? Well, I'll answer your question if you answer one of mine. Okay. Do you want to wear that mask? Oh, no. Do you think that mask actually prevents anything? No. Okay. If the governor said that you can take that mask off, would you take it off? Yes. I said, then you're a slave. Because you're doing something you don't want to do, something that you know is not providing any protection, and you're only doing it because some government authority told you to do it. You are a slave. I am not a slave to anybody, and I am not going to wear that mask. That's what John, it comes down to.
John, you made me think of something there. Here's an open question for the crew this morning. I got $5 laying right here beside me. I'm going to give $5 to anybody can tell me one time Jesus backed down. Can anybody give me one? Hey, I'll make it 50. I'll give you $50 if you tell me one time Jesus backed down.
You can make it 500,000. You're not going to lose that bet.
That's right. Keep that money.
He drew lines in the stand. He stood toe-to-toe with the tyrants and didn't back down from anybody. All right? That is not modern Christianity today.
No.
That is not
the cost him his life. Today.
All right. There's very few of us out there that are willing to determine right and wrong. What does the law say? God's law and the constitutional law. And whatever that says, that's our line. We are not budging. You can force us. You can throw us in jail. You can kill us. You can do whatever you want. I am not moving off this line. Right. See, that does not exist in America.
I'll tell you something. If this spirit went back into the heart of the Christian male, America would have a chance to right ourselves. We'd have a chance. But we got to get away from this love, 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 love thing. Brothers and sisters, we're at war. Come on in, Gary.
The line has to be drawn behind us, not in front of us.
Good point. No more backing up, right? We're already at the end. Go, Raj.
Well, aren't we illustrating through this conversation that we are a super minority believers? I mean, that's what's being said here. Mm-hmm. Because if we were anywhere near a majority status, and I mean Bible-believing majority, we wouldn't be here. I think it's almost like we're overplaying how many we think actual believers there really are. That I think we're becoming a super minority because these problems would be easy to reverse if we were anywhere near a majority in this country who were born again in the born-again experience that Larry would have said. We're a minority, and that's why we are where we are.
That's great.
Yeah, but God only needs Gideon's 300. God doesn't need a majority. God needs 300 people strong men.
A lot of this boils down to if you want to be a friend of the world, you have made yourself the enemy of God.
Amen, Larry.
Yeah, I agree that the minority numbers are still strong enough. I think scripture plays out many places. But when you think about the situation with the mask and business, all it would take, most retail businesses cannot handle a loss of 15 or 20% of the business. All it would take is the Christian community to stop shopping, but they refuse to do that.
Right. We love our slavery, Raj. Same thing, right? We're not willing to pay the price that has to be paid for it. That's all it is. Submission. Somebody, come on in. Anybody.
You know, Coach, I know what the brothels, smoke shops, vape shops are reopened.
You don't want them to? Is that what you said? You don't want them to?
Yes.
Well, who does? Who does, right? But if you think people aren't having sex in the middle of this pandemic, Jeff, I mean, that's just the nature, man. That's what they're going to do. See, the problem is not so much people are doing it. The problem is we condone them doing it. Do you understand the difference? There's something different between a woman killing her baby and a back alley abortion And we want to make her a victim when she is choosing. She knows it is so wrong that she has to go sneak and do it. She knows it's wrong. And we in our godless society say it is so wrong, but she shouldn't feel shame for doing it. So therefore, let's legalize it. And we become complicit in it because we embrace her shame. We love her more than we love her baby. We love her sin more than we love her unborn child. We are complicit in it, folks. This is not manly opposition. It's not at all, man. Come on in, John.
Yeah, I mean, I just think about, you know, I go out there and I'm coaching, and these are, I mean, these are manly men. I mean, all these other coaches that are out there, I mean, these are big, strong, husky country boys. These are hunters. These are not, I mean, these are in no way, but the fact that I'm standing there watching these men that could probably pound me into the into the turf, they're so big and husky, and like I said, hunters, and they're just, I mean,
they're not mentally, have a much, they're not mentally tough. They're not mentally
that's
tough.
That's what I mean. I mean, they'd probably fight at the drop of a hat, but the fact that they won't stand up to their government is just an indication, you know, how strong are you? I mean, are you just going to stand up to somebody that you know you could whip, or are you going to stand up to the giant? That's the difference between what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the spirit of David, who wants to stand against Goliath, you know, for trying to invade the kingdom of God. And that's really what this comes down to. These people are invading the, here's the thing that got Shelby last night. The homosexuals are 10 times more bolder than Christians, because the second that the Supreme Court ruled you can get married, they were lining up in the courthouses to get married. They said, the court ruled we can do this. We don't care what the governor says, what the legislature says, what your state says, what your state constitution says. We don't care. This one court ruled that we can do this. We're going to boldly do it. Now, we've got one court here in Pennsylvania that boldly ruled that we don't have to obey the judge, and everybody's just lining up to kiss his toes. That's what we're talking about. And it's never going to end until the American Christian Church stands up with manly firmness and begins to lead the people in the way of righteousness. There is one king, Jesus, period.
See, guys, listen, if you're watching this show, if you're part of this show, I got an email yesterday from a name. If I mentioned it, you would all know it. All right. Because he read what I wrote and commented on it. And the comment he made was something like, man, coach, you're always out there on those front lines or something like that. I can't remember specifically what it was. And you know what I responded back? SWAT team, baby. SWAT team. Some of us have to be the first guys on the beach. Some of us have to be that. And I'm going to tell you this. If you're in a SWAT team, I call it spiritual weapons and tactics. If you're in God's SWAT team, you're going to have multiple voices telling you not to go. Multiple voices telling you to be quiet. Multiple voices telling you a better way to do it. Multiple voices. And you're going to tell you something. They ain't never going to go themselves. And if you go, you make them embarrassed. SWAT team. If you're watching this show right now, you got that SWAT team spirit inside of you. You have that SWAT team spirit inside of you, right? Don't ever forget this. Revelation 21:8. The fearful and unbelieving. Michael, Revelation 21:8. We don't like it. Nobody likes it. Revelation 21:8. Hang on, friends. Oh, this is good this morning. Maybe not for some of you softies. 21:8, Mike. 21:8. Uh-huh. He that overcometh, seven. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. That's going to be me. I'm going to overcome. And I will be his God. Wait a minute. Does that mean he's not going to be the God of those who don't overcome? He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But you SWAT team members, the fearful and the unbelieving, those who are trying to hold you back, the SWAT team members, they ain't going to make it. They're going to burn in the set. It's right there in front of you, man. Fearful and unbelieving. Now, if you're not out engaging the enemy, there's only two reasons why. There's only two reasons why. You're either afraid or you don't believe.
Well, Coach, that is a clarification of two groups of people, the unbeliever and the believer. The believer, the fearful, that is the fearful believer. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. also the one with the five talents who was afraid and buried it. See, these were believers. That first category, it's not an unbeliever. It's a believer who's fearful. That's what it is. And God looks at shame with that because he's like, are you kidding me? The same spirit that raised me from the dead is dwelling in you. What the heck are you afraid of?
But Dale, that's right, why. Look. I'm sorry, John. Look, it says the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars. Drive the lake. Who's he put the first of the? Who are the first words off his mouth? Fearful and unbelieving. Those who have the Spirit of God inside them, those are the ones he's most disgusted with.
Yeah, Caleb and Joshua. The spirit of fear is what kept the children of Israel out of the promised land because 10 of the leaders of the tribes came back and were fearful. And Caleb and Joshua said, no, we can do this. We can take it. Stand toe right to now, toe man. Against these guys.
The SWAT team, right? Caleb and Joshua. We can do it, boys. Let's go right now. Let's go take them right now. We can do this. Roger?
Yeah, and think about Daniel. When they passed the law saying you're not allowed to pray, what did he do? He resisted with manly firmness as the invasion on his rights. Stood there, he drew a line in the sand. I'm praying. Can you imagine the Christians of today? Come on, Daniel. You got to obey the government. Come on, Daniel. Only for 30 days. It's only for 30 days. It's just a temporary lockdown. It's just a temporary ban, right?
You're going to get us all in trouble. Come on, Roger. Come on in.
Oh, I was going to say, I just love the Bible, baby. Bring that Bible. But in that verse 21, my little Bible says, my little sissy Bible says the word cowardly.
Wow, huh?
Cowardly.
That's almost a better one, isn't it, Roger? That's almost
done.
Because listen, I'm fearful. Hey, folks, listen, I'm afraid a lot. Can I tell you the truth? I'm afraid a lot. Well, I'm afraid a lot. And
their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur.
That's what it says. Roger, Curry.
And it's not just the thief, the sexual immoral, the person. It's the cowardly.
Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the conquering of fear. Come on, Joseph.
And the objective of all of this, of the 300... of us, what is our true objective here? Restoring our government or honoring God and doing what he says to do?
Expanding the kingdom of God.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right. Hey, Jeff, come on in.
Hey, Coach. I got a little situation going on here. You know, I've talked about with the mayor's office, the law director, and stifling my speech on the square and on and on. All this Trump stuff we're doing. Man, we're just getting hammered at the lot with some Trump stuff. Sure. My detailer's been coming to me a few times. He's new there. Decent young kid. And then slavery you're talking about, he said things happen. At work at his multi-million dollar restaurant, the lady made them all a special meeting, sign a form. You will not speak about anything political or anything in this restaurant. I looked at him and said, you signed it, didn't you? Well, and then a few days later, he gets somebody comes to his yard and his fire pit out back. His wife's scared to death now. They set four beer cans around his fire pit and then burn a holy Bible in the middle of it. And he comes to me now out of both sides of his mouth. A couple days ago, he told the mechanic, he says, why is it he's always got to be the center of attention? And blah, 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 blah. Now he's ripping me, but he's coming to me with problems. You know what I mean? And he sees the fire's brewing down.
Hey, Jeff, I hear it all the time. We're running out. I hear it all the time. People call me he's a media hog. He's just going after the cameras. Hey, dude. Come and walk this walk, will you? Come and walk this walk. Get the penises in your email inbox every day. Go ahead and walk it, huh? Go ahead and do that. You know what? I fight fear all the time. I fight fear all the time. But I know when I stand before the Lord, I'm not going to be one of those fearful and unbelieving. I'm going to overcome. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's why I'm going to walk it out no matter who likes it. John, I'm sorry we walked all over you today. We'll get you in first of next week and let you do that teaching because I know it's valuable. But I'm going to tell you, folks, everywhere you go this weekend, Christian people are going to tell you to comply. Christian people are going to tell you to give in. Christian people are going to tell you to follow the orders. Christian people are going to tell you to be fearful and I'm believing, and I ain't buying it. God bless you. Have a great weekend.